of Psalms, chapter 145. And 145th Psalm. Here the psalmist, beginning in verse 1, says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. May we pray. Lord, thank you this morning. We have this opportunity. We can come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for these that have come this morning to hear thy word. We pray this morning that you might give us the unction and the liberty. That this morning the Holy Spirit might have free reign in our service today. That he might take the word of God this morning and apply it to our lives and teach us and direct us and instruct us in your ways. We ask you now, dear Lord, that you be with us this morning in this service. May all that we do bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We find here that, of course, this psalm was written by King David. And I don't know what particular point in his life that he wrote this psalm, but David wrote this particular psalm, and he makes a declaration in verses 1 and verse 2. He said, I'm going to extol, or I'm simply going to praise thee, my God, and I will bless thy name forever and ever, and I'm going to do it. David said, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. You know, this morning, David said, I'm going to praise the Lord, I'm going to extol the Lord, I'm going to bless the Lord, and I'm going to do it every day. It's a continual thing in my life, and I'm going to do it for eternity. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I don't know if I can say that today. I don't know this morning I can say that I every day praise the Lord. I don't know that if every day I can say I bless the name of God. You see, today, sometime life is not good. Just to be honest with you, some days and sometimes life is not good. Just to be honest with you this morning, sometimes life is hard and life is sometimes overwhelming. As I look around this particular congregation this morning and I look back over the past year and see a lot of pain and hurt and trouble. Since the last Thanksgiving, last year, as you look around the congregation this morning, a lot of things have changed. A lot of hurt and pain and sorrow have come our ways. Many people today are still hurting in many different ways. And some days today I say that I don't really understand how that maybe David could say that. But then I begin to read this psalm. And as you begin to read this psalm, you can say that David knew what he was talking about, because David was writing under the inspiration, of course, of the Holy Spirit of God. David today was saying that I'm going to praise the Lord every day, that I'm going to be thankful today and every day. Of course, we're approaching the Thanksgiving season, and next, of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, a day that's been set aside once a year to give thanks. You know, I think today that as we look up in to the Christian today, every day ought to be Thanksgiving, to be honest with you this morning. And it shouldn't be something we only do once a year. But today, we find that David said, I'm going to be thankful every day. I'm going to praise the Lord every day. Now, David underwent a lot of things in his life. He was at times loved and at times hated. David was chased by, of course, the King Saul and later found out that his friend Jonathan had died in battle, and David underwent a lot of things in his life this morning. He was even betrayed by his own son, who undercut him to become the king of Israel for a brief period of time. And I believe today, as we approach Thanksgiving today, and as I said, sometimes life is hard, isn't it? Life is not always good. But David gives us some insight into praising and worshiping the Lord every day, which we should do this morning. The psalmist said in Psalm 118, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, sometimes we need to realize this morning that we've got up in the morning and God has blessed us with another day of life, and so we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. But what did David tell us, and what does David tell us here in this psalm today that would help us this morning? You see, we need something to help us. You need something to help you, and I need something to help me to realize and to remind me and to build my life upon. And David tells us in this psalm today that he's going to praise the Lord every day because of God's greatness this morning. He talks about the greatness of God. In verse 3, he said, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." David said, "I want to tell you about the greatness of God." And he said, his greatness this morning is unsearchable. Now, what does that mean today? What is the unsearchable greatness of God? That means there's no limit to it this morning. That means this morning that when you look at the greatness of God, you can never comprehend it in your finite mind. In the book of Isaiah, we find that Isaiah penned these words that God gave to him many years ago. And in Isaiah 55, we should remind ourselves constantly of some things that God says about himself. And look at what he says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 this morning. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You see, this morning we find that God's greatness is unsearchable. God's greatness today is far above what you and I could ever really understand this morning. All we can do sometimes is just stand back and stand in awe of Him. There's a lot of smart people in this world today. I mean, many, many intelligent people who have learned many things through the years. But they never grasp this great truth today that God does not always behave the way we want Him to behave. You see, this morning, God is not an on-call God. I'm afraid a lot of people want a pizza delivery God, one this morning who answers to us and brings us what we want without any mess or fuss this morning. But God today is... His greatness is unsearchable. It's so far ahead of us that we'll never understand it in our finite minds this morning. When we look around and we see things happening in our world and we wonder, why in the world is this happening? We don't understand it. Well, we just underwent an election and people say, "I don't understand it." We see people get sick and we say, "I don't understand it." We see people pass away and we don't understand it. We see things happen in life and we don't understand it. But you see, the greatness of God is something that we can't understand, and further down the road we'll begin to maybe get a little glimpse of it today. Our finite minds can't get what God's greatness is this morning. Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, all above all that we ask or think this morning. God's greatness is something today that you and I can never really understand. You see, we can't put God in a cage. We can't put God in a box and then begin to demand that God do this for us and God do that for us. I get tired of hearing these people talk about God going to give you this and God's going to give you that. Let me understand something this morning. God is so great and so far above us that this morning that I can't tell God anything this morning. God doesn't need my advice this morning. God only expects my worship and my loyalty and my obedience today. See, even bad days and bad times, we can praise God because of His greatness, because it exceeds what our human minds can grasp. That's not easy to do today. As we think about all the things that happen to people just in this congregation, you know, we could talk about things that happen to people around the world, but when you begin to get into the personal aspect of it, and you begin to see things happen in people's lives today, and you begin to wonder why and how can we praise God in spite of that? How can we get a grasp on that? It's not an easy thing to do this morning. But I got to thinking about Jesus. You know, when Jesus came into this world, He was born, of course, in a manger. And He was born in a manger, and then He was brought up, of course, in Nazareth in a carpenter's home. And as He left home and began His public ministry, and Jesus, the Jews were expecting a Messiah that would come and as a great conquering hero and overthrow the Roman government and restore them to the place that they had been before the captivity. They were expecting a king to come and sit upon the throne of David. But Jesus came not this morning as a conquering hero, but He came this morning as the Redeemer of the world. And He was rejected and despised, the Bible tells us this morning. And eventually, of course, He was rejected by the Jewish people and turned over to the Romans for His crucifixion. As He hung there on the cross in agony and shame, it seemed like this morning that here the one that claimed to be the Son of God was about to go down this morning, that everything was gone. Thank God today He came out of the tomb 3 days later this morning. And through that resurrection today and His crucifixion, you and I can say this morning that there's hope. There's hope in this life and there's hope beyond this life. We need to realize today that when we see and we were to look at the crucifixion from a human standpoint, how horrible and how terrible. But when you look at it this morning, that God gave His only begotten Son, that you and I might be redeemed by His grace, that you and I might this morning be given eternal life through His Son today, that we might have our sins forgiven through the blood that was there on the old rugged cross this morning. And we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as He come out of that grave and gives us hope in this life and hope beyond this life today. The greatness of God sometimes is incomprehensible to you and I. We can't comprehend it. I don't understand it. But I can say that even in bad days, David said, I still see the greatness of God. And I have something to praise God about because even on my bad days, God is still great this morning. I'm glad that we've got hope beyond hope today. The greatness of God. See, everything that happens in our lives today, we sometimes only see that at the moment, but God sees it from beginning to end. His thoughts are above our thoughts today. His ways are not our ways, but thank God they're better this morning. And we ought to stand up and shout and say, thank You this Thanksgiving, Lord, for Your greatness this morning. And David said, not only do I see the greatness of God, but I see the goodness of God. Look at verse 7 with me. And they shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. Verse 9, he said, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. The goodness and the kindness of God toward us this morning. You know, James said every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything that you and I have that's good in this life comes from the Lord today. He's taking care of us today. He's good to us this morning. song said, God is good. God is good. God is so good. God is so good to me. I thought about something the other day, and, you know, we think about, as I said, all the things that happen to us in this life, and as I said, sometimes life is not easy, and sometimes life is hard. You know, Paul wrote a verse that many people quote many times in these bad times. He said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose this morning. You know, you begin to read that and you begin to think about what Paul is saying there. But as you begin to study that chapter in the Word of God, you find that Paul begins to tell us that God is so good to us this morning because he says there's no condemnation in verse 1. There is no condemnation this morning to us. What a great goodness that is to us. We have no condemnation. We are free this morning in Christ Jesus. Then he said, we're joint heirs. I like that this morning. He said, we're joint heirs of God this morning. This is my Father's world, the psalmist said. We're joint heirs with Christ. But then he says something that I want you to think about. He said in verse 18, for I reckon, must have been from the south, amen, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Paul is talking about the creation. He's talking about all of the natural things that you and I see. And he's talking about how it's groaning. It's waiting for the time when Jesus will come again and this earth will be redeemed. Every time you hear the wind blow through the trees, you hear the groaning of creation. You hear the travailing of creation this morning. But Paul said not only that, but he said also we are travailing. We are groaning this morning, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Waiting for the redemption of our body this morning. You know, Stuart Hamblin wrote a song many years ago called This Old House. And, you know, it said it's a getting feeble. This old house is needing paint. Well, this old house is a getting old this morning. You know, I began to read that chapter the other day and I thought about this. You think about the goodness of God to you. When Christ becomes your Savior, your soul and your spirit are eternal. It doesn't get any older. It stays the same. That old body's getting older, isn't it? It's corrupting. You know, I mean, you think about that. My body is just, it's aging, it's decaying, it's corruption this morning. One of these days it'll eventually give out and be totally gone and be totally worn out. When my big daddy died, he was in the hospital. As far as I know, the last 2 weeks that he lived, he was in the hospital. Only time ever been in the hospital his whole life. And one day I asked the doctor, I said, well, Doc, what's wrong with him? And he said, well, I just have to be honest with you. He's worn out. He just completely worn out. Everything he's got's worn out. And that's what's happening to us. We're wearing out. You know, you think about this. Aren't you glad we ain't got to go through heaven in this old body? The Lord's going to give us a new body. We're going to get new eyes, new teeth. Some of you are going to get new hair.
Some of you are going to get some hair. But think about that. That's good this morning. The Lord's good to us. He said, for all things work together for good. Everything that God is God and how He works it together, I have no idea. I don't have a clue sometimes how God is making all of this work together. It amazes me. I sometimes wonder, you know, when I was a boy, I had a friend, he ordered an ant colony. I don't know why anybody want one of those things, but he got him one. And you could watch those ants in that container just running to and fro and doing all of those things. I wonder if the Lord looks down and sees us like that sometimes, running to and fro and trying to wonder what we're doing. And He's directing our paths and making everything work together for good. He didn't say everything was good, but He said all things are going to work together for good. God is good to us this morning. When see, we need Romans 8:31 because there the Apostle Paul says, what shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm glad we got God for us this morning. I'm glad God's on our side. Somebody said, what side's God on? Well, all I can tell you is what He said to Moses. Moses drew a line and He said, who's on the Lord's side, come over here. That's whose side He's on, wherever you, that's your choice today to come to the Lord's side. I'm glad I got on God's side this morning. Amen. But God is so good to us today. I guess some of my favorite scriptures found in this chapter where the apostle said, and he said, nay, in all these things, it doesn't matter what happens, Paul said, in everything, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Doesn't matter what happens in life, we're more than conquerors. Doesn't matter what takes place in our life, we're more than conquerors. How? Through Him that loved us. For He said, for I'm persuaded, I'm very confident that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, this morning, God is with us. God loves us, and He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. And He preserves us from everlasting to everlasting. God is good this morning. That's what David is saying. You know, I'm sure that many times in David's life and as many times in our life, we have to stop and wonder, what is the Lord doing? How is this going to work together for good? But we know that it is. David said, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to do it every day. And I'm going to do it the rest of my life. Because God is great. Because God is good. And then he said, because God is great. Notice it, verse 8. The Lord is gracious. Thankful this morning for the grace of God. The grace of God. You see, God's grace is there to see us through the dark times and the hard times. We have dark times and hard times, don't we? You know, Charles Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. Great preacher. Never built a building big enough to hold the people that came to hear him preach. Yet he had great times of darkness and depression. We'll all go through times and dark times, hard times. As I said, as I look at this congregation, and I look at this people, and I think of all the dark times that some of you must go through. And I know that some of the dark times that I go through. But I can give you this testimony today. The grace of God is always sufficient.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Somehow, some way, God brings peace to our souls.
Amen.
And we can say, thank you, Lord, every day. We can praise the Lord every day. We can extol the Lord every day because of that grace this morning that's able and sufficient for us in those dark times of life. I don't know how to say some things. I don't know how to say exactly what I want to say sometimes. You know, it's not that I'm telling you today we thank God that we had the dark times. Not that we are praising God because we had those hard times. But we're praising God because His grace gets us through those dark times and hard times. David said, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to be thankful to God. I don't know what we'd do without the grace of God, do you? And you think about that this morning. You know, when I look here this morning and I see people and I think about Brother Bruce and the cancer, what would he do without the grace of God? I mean, what would his family do without the grace of God? It's wonderful, isn't it? Think of Brother Ellis back there and all that he's went through. And without the grace of God, where would we be? I think about Brandy this morning and the grace of God. All the things that we endure and go through those hard and dark times, thank God for the grace of God.
Amen.
That's seen us through it, helped us through it, and give us strength to go from day to day.
Right.
You know, there's times you... Like me, you go through some of those dark times, you think, why even get up in the morning? But the grace of God gives you the strength.
Right.
We can praise the Lord for His grace this morning.
Amen.
You see, we can call on the Lord. That's what He tells us in verses 18. The Lord nigh to all of them that call upon Him. You see, He's not an on-call God, but He's a God that we can call out to. To all that call upon Him in the truth, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The grace of God is sufficient today to reach down and save the vilest sinner. To cleanse him from his sin and her from her sin. He's there to give us the help and grace we need in our times of trouble. When we have distress and loneliness and depression today, God's there to help us if we'll only call upon Him. What David is saying is, I had a lot of things in life, but I called on God and His grace. I thought about, I read a story about Gypsy Smith, a evangelist of yesteryear, and he was going down the street in a city where he had preached, and suddenly he felt someone tugging on his coat, and he pulled it back, and it tugged again. He turned around, there was a little girl standing there, and she had a handful of candy, and she said, Brother Smith, I want to give you this candy. And he said, well, why do you want to give me that candy? She said, well, you preached. here in our city, and my daddy came, and my daddy quit drinking. My daddy quit beating us, and my daddy is now a good daddy, and he feeds us and takes care of us because you showed him Jesus, and I want to give you my candy. You know, sometimes we ought to just be like that with the Lord. Lord, I just want to give you everything I got. That's what David is saying. I'm going to give it up to you, God. And I'm going to thankful and praise you because even in the dark and hard and bad times of life, your greatness and your goodness and your grace is there for us. Think about that this morning. As we stand together, Brother Bruce, Pugh, and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very brief message and very simple sermon today and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name.